for calling evil good and good evil, just like they do today. People are calling light darkness and darkness light, just like they do today. And Isaiah was a part of that culture. And he was in a state of grieving because the king, what started out as a good king, had died. And in the midst of that circumstance, he got a vision, he got a glimpse of the awesome presence of God. And when he got that glimpse, it helped him to see himself and the people all around him, that he was no different. He saw that he had unclean lips and he lived amongst a people of unclean lips. And he was no different from the people around him. And unclean lips are the lips that would say, evil is good and good is evil. Unclean lips are the lips that would say, light is darkness and darkness is light. Unclean lips would say, the killing of an unborn child is fine because a woman is in charge of her body, and say that that is good, to kill an unborn child. But to save the unborn child is considered bad because now this woman has to go through several months. Unclean lips would say, it's fine if two adults want to get married, no matter what gender they are, it's fine. And unclean lips would also say, it's wrong for you to say that they shouldn't have the right to do that. But when our lips are clean, when our lips are cleansed, we speak what God says.
Amen.
We speak what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter who doesn't like it.
Amen.
Because our lips have been purged by the presence and power of God.
Thank you.
And that's what brings change. That's what brings deliverance. That's what brings freedom. As we continue this morning, I want to share a little bit about a word that one of the kings got, and also Isaiah himself got, a word that is repeated, fulfilled in the New Testament, the word Emmanuel. God is with us. Comes out of Isaiah. And so to again appreciate it, we have to look again at the context. Because when you know the context, it becomes richer. There's a deeper meaning to the word than what we say at Christmas time, because we're celebrating the birth of Christ. Yes, that's the ultimate fulfillment, but there's so much richness behind it. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 27. King Uzziah, as I had mentioned before, he was the one who started out good. God gave him success. And in the midst of that success, he became proud. He became arrogant. And in that arrogant state, he decided that he was going to offer sacrifice to the Lord, a role reserved for the priest. And when he was confronted by the priest, he refused to repent. He became angry with them for daring to question him. And God struck him with leprosy. And he lived in a separate house until he died. Apparently never repented. And then his son Jotham started to reign while he was still alive. And then when he passed on, Jotham took over. So here we are in 2 Chronicles 27 verse 1. It says, Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I like that phrase. In the eyes of the Lord. We're not called to do what's right in the eyes of people. We're all called to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And so, the writer of Chronicles says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done, but unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. In other words, he did not usurp the authority of the priests. He perhaps saw what happened to his father and realized, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to test the Lord. I see what he did with my father. How many know that God is no respecter of persons? And if we don't humble ourselves, the Lord will chasten us, chastise us, he will discipline us, and yea, he might even judge us. And so Jotham saw what happened to his father, and he's like, no, 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 I'm not going there. And so it's recorded here in scripture for us to see. He learned from his father's mistakes. Children learn from your parents' mistake. He did not enter the temple of the Lord. The people, however, continued their corrupt practices. They continued to call darkness light and light darkness. They continued. And it goes on to explain. It says, Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord and did extensive work on the wall at the city of Ophel. Verse 5, Jotham waged war against the king of the Ammonites and conquered them. And so he experienced success. Verse 6, Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. One of the things Jotham did not do, which we'll come to, is he did not destroy the high places. He did good, but he allowed the high places to remain that were established there by, I guess, going back to Solomon. But Jotham became successful because he walked with God. He didn't usurp the authority of the priests. And in 2 Kings 15, it says that he allowed the high places to remain. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 28, it probably says a similar thing, that he allowed the high places to remain, which seems minor to us, but it becomes a big issue because the people are continuing their corrupt practices, even though the king himself is seeking to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Then his son Ahaz took over after the 16 years had passed. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. It said, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So his father did what was right, except he didn't pull on high places. And here comes the son, comes along, and he decides, I'm not following my father's footsteps. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what he did. So verse 2 says, he followed the ways of the kings of Israel and also made idols for worshiping the Baals. He burnt sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and sacrificed his children in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Therefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hands of Aram. So Ahaz didn't follow in the footsteps of his father, but he decided to do his own thing and sacrifice to the gods and to the Baals and built up high places, sacrifice his own children in the fire, his own son in the fire, which, by the way, is part of what happens when people commit abortion. They sacrifice their child. It's a sacrifice falling through in a different form. Later on, King Ahaz got so far from God that he actually closed the doors to the temple. And as I was reflecting on this, I realized Jotham made a major error. He left the high places in place. What might have been negligence, whatever reason he didn't deal with it, became a major problem for his children. Parents, don't leave high places in place. Don't leave things in place that, well, they're no problem to you, but they could become a problem to your children. No matter what it is, you might be fine listening to certain words on television, but that could be the thing that the devil uses, a hook to pull your child away. You might be fine looking at certain things. You might be fine hearing certain discussions, or you mean involved in certain discussions, and they hear you, and the devil uses that as a hook and takes them away. In other words, if we live our lives being aware of the fact that we are living for the next generation, a part of our responsibility is to raise up children who will be mighty warriors for the Lord. And children learn more by what we do than by what we say. They learn sometimes just by us not being radical enough with certain issues to think that, well, it must be okay because my dad wasn't all that radical about it. That's perhaps part of what happened for Ahaz. He felt, my father left these things in place so that clearly couldn't be all that bad. And he went after those things with a vigor, with a vengeance, we used to say. And he even went further to build high places all over in every city. It says in 2 Chronicles verse 25, that he built high places in every city. Now that background is important because before the Armenians came and before Israel united with them to come against the southern kingdom, God had sent a word to Ahaz. He sent a word through Isaiah, the prophet. So turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1 says, when Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, it talks about the king of Aram and the king of Israel marched up to fight against Israel, but they could not overpower it. Now, the house of David was told, Aram has aligned itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of those smothering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. So the word of the Lord comes and says to Ahaz, keep calm. Don't be fearful. The Lord basically says, put your trust in me. Verse 4, say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart because of those two smoldering stubs of firewood. But this is what these two kings had said. Let us invade, this is verse 6, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it amongst ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Their plan was to come in and uproot Ahaz and take over. And the word of the Lord Ahaz was, be calm. Don't worry. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Verse 7. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says, Isaiah 7 verse 7. It will not take place. It will not happen. So the word of the Lord to Ahaz is, be calm. This is not going to happen. They are not going to replace you. They are not going to uproot you. And Ahaz was in a panic. Verse 9. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. That's the word to Ahaz. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. This is a king who is not even serving the Lord. But God sends him a word saying, put your faith and your trust in me, and what these guys have planned for you will not come to pass. It will not happen. And so the Lord realizes that Ahaz is trembling, he's worried, and the Lord invites him to ask the Lord for a sign. Verse 10, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Verse 11, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, your house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And so the Lord is saying to this king who is not even walking with him, here is an opportunity for you to put your faith and trust in me. Here's an opportunity for you to turn. Things are looking bleak. Ask me for a sign. There are times when God will invite us to do things. When you're uncertain of his word, when you're fearful to confirm his word. Basically, the Lord said, ask me to confirm my word. And Ahaz doesn't want to follow the Lord. He doesn't want to put his trust in God. So he's like, no, I'm not asking for any sign. He's pretending to be spiritual. And the Lord is upset. The Lord said, I'm going to give you a sign. And the sign is that there shall be a virgin who shall have a son. And they're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The king might be unfaithful, but God is going to be with his people. Things might look dismal, but if they cry out, they'll realize I'm there with them. Scholars think that this was fulfilled in Isaiah's wife, at least a partial fulfillment in chapter 8, when his wife, the prophetess, had a son. But we know the ultimate fulfillment of this word took place when Jesus Christ came, according to Matthew chapter 21. That a virgin shall have a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so the word of the Lord to Ahaz is the same word to all of us. Put your trust and your faith in God, or else you will not be able to stand. Whatever has come upon our nation, if you don't have faith and trust in God, you will not be able to stand. God is not going to abandon you, but you're going to end up in all sort of turmoil, all sort of anxiety, all sort of fear, simply because you don't put your faith and trust in the Lord. Isaiah could bring that word because Isaiah had already encountered God, seen the awesomeness of God's presence, and that gave him the confidence to put his faith and trust in God. Then God says a similar thing to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 6 of Isaiah 8. Because this people has rejected the gentle flowing waters of Shiloh, and rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria with all his pomp, and it will overflow all his channels and run over all his banks. So the backtrack, when Israelites, the northern kingdom, and Aram came against Judah, God stopped them in their tracks. They did capture some people, but they didn't reach all the way down to Jerusalem, because God brought Assyria against them and they moved back. God intervened even though the king was unfaithful. And now it's time for the Assyrians to come in, and the Lord sends a word now to Isaiah. And he says that the king of Assyria, verse 7, with all its pomp, will overflow its channels and run over all its banks. In other words, the king of Assyria is going to conquer nations and they're going to come down into Judah, verse 8, and sweep into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wing will cover the breadth of your land. And then it says, Emmanuel. God says the Assyrians are going to come and they're going to invade Judah. But, Emmanuel, God is going to be with you. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how the enemy comes in. Later on it says Isaiah, like a flood. Lord says, I'm going to lift up a standard. I'm going to lift up my presence. There's going to be Emmanuel there with you. When he was taking them into exile in Jeremiah, it says, listen, even though you're going to exile, I have some plans for you. Plans to cause you to prosper, to give you a future, to give you hope. And I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring back a remnant. So God says, even though the enemy might come in and things might look bleak, don't forget, I'm with you. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes when we think of God being with us, we think that everything goes nice and smooth. But if you remember the Hebrew boys, God was with them, but they were in the midst of the fire. In Isaiah 43, it says, when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. I'll be Emmanuel, so you won't be burnt. The waters won't overflow you because I'm with you. He said to Ahaz, they will come, but they won't be able to replace you because I'm with you. When all seems lost, I put here, there will be Emmanuel. Verse 9, raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant land. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plan, but will not stand because of Emmanuel. So God says to his people that the nations, they can cope with all their plans, all of their strategies to come against you, but all of those plans, all of those strategies will come to nothing because I am with you. I'm not going to allow you to be destroyed. I'm not going to allow you to be annihilated. I am with you. Emmanuel. Verse 11. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of the people. Again. Do not call conspiracy everything these people cause conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. This is what you shall do. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He's the one you are to fear. He's the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place for both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. For the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. And so the Lord says to Isaiah, don't listen to the people. Don't say the same things that people say. Don't fear the things that people fear. The only thing you should do is to fear the Lord. The only one you should dread is the Lord himself. All of these stories, all of these doom and prediction, don't worry about those things. Remember, I am with you. I am your rock. I am your refuge. I will be a sanctuary for you, Isaiah. Don't worry about what's going to happen out there. I will be a sanctuary. If you will treat me as holy, if you will focus upon me and walk with me as holy, I will be that sanctuary. I will be the place of refuge for you. Then the Lord goes on to warn Isaiah. Well, let me read verse 18. This is what Isaiah says. Here I am, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel for the Lord Almighty who dwells among Zion. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and testimony of warning. As Isaiah goes on to say that he and his family would be a sign and a symbol to the nation. A sign of God's presence, a sign of God's faithfulness, a sign of the fact that God is holy. Because God is going to work in their lives. God is going to protect them. God is going to provide for them. God is going to give them, according to Rebecca, breakthrough. God is going to give them breakthrough. In the midst of whatever is happening, in the midst of the nation panicking and saying people are doing this and people are doing that, the Lord is saying, don't listen to them. You focus upon me. And I'll make you a sign and a symbol. They'll read your life. They'll look at you and say, there is a God in heaven who's still at work. Why? Because I've treated God as holy. Why? Because I've got a revelation of who he is. Because I'm being transformed from one level of holiness to another level of holiness as I see the revelation of who God is. Why? Because I've chosen to put my faith in God despite what's happening because I know he's with me, Emmanuel. And then the Lord says, you don't need to consult horoscope. You don't need to call no 1-800-PSYCHIC. All you need is my word and my testimony. Live by my word, proclaim my word, believe my word, and see if I won't make a difference. I'm amazed the kind of Christians who actually believe this horoscope stuff. Put your trust in the Lord. He will. That's why he gives us his spirit. All who are led by his spirit are called children of God. He will lead us. He will guide us. Now this thing gets interesting because so in the New Testament now we have Jesus coming as Emmanuel. And so the Lord appears to Joseph, at least an angel appears to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And verse 20. And after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so Emmanuel then means it's a God who comes to save. That's what it says to Joseph. He's going to save his people from their sins. God being with us, he will save us from our sins. God being with us is going to be revealed in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He's going to set us free from bondage, set us free from sickness. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. That's Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to give us victory even when things are bleak. He's going to change us, transform us. Even though the Romans are ruling, God's kingdom is still invading and transforming lives. The idea of God with us is captured for us by the psalmist. Psalm that you all know very well, Psalm 46. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. In other words, when we treat God as holy, when we get the revelation of who God is as a holy God, we start to realize that he becomes our refuge and our strength. The same thing he said to Isaiah. When you treat me as holy, I'll become that sanctuary for you. I'll surround you with my presence. The angels will fight on your behalf. The same angels that you saw, they will fight on your behalf. That's what happened later on in Isaiah 37. The angels fought on behalf of King Hezekiah and the people. Because they dared to call out to the Lord. So I will be a refuge and strength. A very present help in time of trouble. When everything looks bleak, when the enemy is coming in like a flood, the Lord says, I am going to be there. I'm going to be Emmanuel there with you. When they cast you into the lion's den, I'll shut the mouth of the lion. When they cast into the fire, I'll loose you so you can walk around in the fire. You can rejoice in the fire. You can worship God with the fire. The fire is not going to stop you because he's there with you in the midst of the fire. You're perhaps wondering, what is this cooling breeze all around me? They are seeing fire and you're feeling the cooling breeze of God's presence. The wind of the Spirit. So I am a refuge and strength. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. If God is with us, who can be against us? So the psalmist says, because God is with us, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Earthquake all around us. Things look chaotic. And the people of God stand firm, not running around in a panic. Because what? God is with us. But daddy, don't you understand that there's a tornado coming? God is with us. It says, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, they're having tsunami and all sort of things happening, and the people of God are like, God is our refuge. God is our strength. We are not walking around in fear. We're walking around in faith because of the God whom we serve. We know who he is. Amen. And so the psalmist goes on to say, listen, they're panicking out there, but let me tell you something. He says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Where is that? The holy place where the Most High dwells. So the people of God are there where God dwells, in the Most High place, drinking from that river, drinking from the Spirit, experiencing him in new and life-transforming ways, and there's chaos all around on the outside. Verse 5, God is within her. And if God is within her, she shall not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And then he moves now to a different level. He says, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms will fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So he said to Isaiah, the nations, let them plan their war. Let them plan their strategies. They will be shattered because I am with you. I am Emmanuel. The nations are in an uproar. We are not worried. Because what? Because Emmanuel is with us. He's our refuge and our strength. I've gotten a glimpse of his holiness and I know he's there with us. I got a glimpse of some beings around the throne and I realized, whoa, those guys are powerful. I realize I don't need to worry anymore. Like Elisha, I see the armies all around. So I don't need to worry. There are more that are with me than are against me. Verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. In other words, all the enemies are coming against us, and God intervenes and causes them to no longer be successful, no longer have the urge, because God frustrates them. And so what is God's word to us? In verse 10, be still. The same word he sent to Ahaz. So be calm. He said, when you know your God, it's easier for you to be calm. Ahaz didn't know God. So even though God said to him, don't worry, he panicked and tried to form an alliance with the king of Assyria, tried to do all manner of stuff because he didn't know God. But when you know your God, you can be still and say, I know that God is with me. I know that God got this. I don't need to worry. I know who he is. I've seen him in the secret place. I've met with him. I've encountered him. He has touched me. He has transformed me. It's not some mental gymnastics. I'm not imagining this thing. I've experienced him. So God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Don't worry about what's happening all around you. God will be exalted in the earth. He's going to set up his king in Zion. He's going to call all the kingdoms of the world to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. So it doesn't matter what people might do. It doesn't matter what's happening all around us. Just be still and know that he is God. We just sang about it. He's with us in the good times and in the bad times, in the high and in the low. And so the psalmist sums it up by saying this: the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. He's the one who protects us. He's the one we look to. That's why God could say the same thing to Isaiah, and he said to King Ahaz, Isaiah could have his faith and trust in the Lord because Isaiah knew him. Isaiah encountered him. Isaiah realized that God is holy. Friends, only those who really know their God, according to Daniel, will be strong and do exploits. Those who don't know God will panic. They'll worry. They'll walk around in fear and anxiety. They'll go here, there, and everywhere trying to get help. They will consult with psychics. They'll consult with all sorts of people to get help. But we who know our God, we know that God is with us. And if God is with us, then you know what? I can actually be still. I can actually rejoice in the Lord. I can actually enter into his presence. I can drink from that river that comes from our presence. I experience renewal inside of my spirit, even though outside everything looks chaotic. And I can set an example for the next generation, for them to see that there is a God who will help you in times of difficulties. I'll pull down every stronghold. I'll pull down every high place. And I'll lift up the name of the Lord in every situation, every circumstance. And I will freely declare with my clean lips the word of Almighty God. So that they can come to realize that the same God who works in my life will work in their life. Ahaz didn't believe that the same God who gave his father success would give him success. Let us stand. The word to Isaiah was, treat me as holy. Fear only me. And I will show you that I'm your refuge and I'm your strength. I'll show you that I am the Emmanuel God who's with you. This is not some Christmas story thing. This is a reality so God wants his people to live. That God will come through. He'll give you the breakthrough. He will give you the deliverance that you need. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He's the one who causes wars to cease. He's the one who causes the enemy to bow. He's the one who drives them out. Let's just bow our heads. As we're here this morning, perhaps there's someone who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning. If there's somebody here like that, just raise your hand right where you're standing. You need to recommit yourself to the Lord. King Ahaz got an invitation from the Lord. The Lord says, ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign. And the sign was, I am with you. The sign is, If you ask God for a sign, perhaps you need to sense His presence more in a more tangible way. The Lord is saying, whatever is the sign that you need to have the assurance that, it's not just, you can be with someone, but it's like a parent going to a baseball game for their child, and they're with them, but they're in the stands. When God says He's with us, He's not in the stands. He's there holding your hand as you hold the bat. It's two different types of being with you. And so God is saying He's with us right there in the middle of whatever you're going through. And if you're not sure, or if you want to have a deeper encounter with Him, He's saying, I will give you that deeper encounter. Ask me. Ask me for more, and I'll give you more. Ask me for reassurance, and I'll give you reassurance. Ask me for a fresh outpouring, and I'll give you a fresh outpouring. Whatever you ask, whether it be high or low, I will give it to you. Because I want you to know that you know that you know that you know that I'm with you. I want you to know that I'm your refuge and your strength, your very present help, no matter what happens. Ask me for more. And so this morning, for each one of us, I think God will give you an invitation. Whatever that invitation will be, God will give it to you. As He'll bring that change, bring that deliverance into your life. And so I'm going to encourage each one of us just to take a moment and ask the Lord for that invitation so you can respond. Whatever is burning deep in your heart, perhaps there's something that God has put there, ask Him for it. So that He can show Himself to be who He is in your life and in your circumstance. Ask Him for it. Don't be shy. If you want more, ask Him for more. If you want to move in the realm of having more visions and more dreams, ask Him for more. If you want to hear His voice more clearly, ask Him for more. If you need to have a breakthrough in a certain area, ask Him for more. You will get it.